it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Sam and Greg on a Sunday morning, 7th day of September. We are the opening act for NFL Sunday. That's all you got to say, right? The first NFL Sunday.
A game day Sunday. You all right, man?
Finally! I mean, I've been waiting for him.
Where did he go? But what'd you do, man? What's wrong? You okay over
Thank
there?
You.
What did you do? You
I've
all
been
right?
waiting. Man, why you make everybody wait? Why you make everybody wait?
Oh, man.
You like...
It'll be here. There we go.
I've been waiting for years to hear you say that again. it's like when Michael came back and sang with his brothers. You hearing you say that, it's just, thank you, Sam.
We,
I feel
we got
better.
It. We got that.
Gloria Gaynor.
Yeah.
This is her birth date.
Ah.
So Noel threw on some I Will Survive. And it works perfect for what you were talking earlier about with Naomi Osaka.
Yeah.
Could be her little thing. She could have that in the car going.
Well, that and Taylor Townsend, I mean, you have a number of players with backstories, you know, that could sing that song.
But and, listen, Naomi's had her played out in public.
True.
And so, you know, that's that warts right there in front of us. And so that song, I think, is really apropos. Now, it really will apply when she gets that. Either the big serving plate or the other piece of hardware they give at the end of Fortnite.
Yep.
But, listen, everybody's rooting for her.
Well, and also Amanda Anisimova, who made it to her second straight major final. She was made it to the final at Wimbledon, made it to the final at the U.S. Open. She has had some things to overcome as well. So, I mean, some of the backstories of the players this year at the U.S. Open have been intriguing and very inspirational when you think about it from that perspective.
In case you're wondering, we are still working on getting in touch with Karen Pestana, Tennis Panorama, a cousin from up in New York there. I'm going to tell you something. Yesterday's winner left me with mixed emotions.
Okay.
Now, you as a tennis aficionado as opposed to me, oh, we have Karen? Well, I'll welcome Karen on, and I'll say what I was going to say with her joining us. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I was Sam and I were filling, as we knew they were. Noel was trying to get in touch with you. And I was saying to Sam that I had mixed emotions with yesterday's winner of the women's final, with Sabalenka winning. First of all, I had a problem. She should have closed that thing out in the second set. She was up 5-3, and then she let – what's her – how do you say her name?
Anisimova.
Come back, right? She did. She had her down 5-3, and then she started trying to get cute, and she came back and won it. But I still got a little sour taste in my mouth about how she, you know, treated Coco. And Coco won the French. Should I get past that?
Yeah, man.
All right.
Yeah, I they get have. Past it. Okay. They yeah. have. You didn't well, see them do their little TikTok dance together, like maybe a week later or whatever it was?
You know how unreasonable fans can be, and that's where I'm at right now. If you tell me to get over, I'll get over it. But as a fan, I was still holding on to that. But anyway, Karen, good morning.
Good morning.
Where do we start? But we ain't going to get into the men's final just yet. Where do we start in talking about this past week and the events of that played out in front of us? Who's there? Who's not there? We talked about Naomi Osaka earlier. I gave you a little bit of credit because you said on this show that were she to turn things around, this is early in the year, I think we were heading into the French, and we were talking about her career, and you said if she turns things around, which you believed, it would be this tournament. And Sam threw her all manner of flowers earlier in the show, and I said this is the tournament that Karen said it would happen in.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, because hard court. She won a U.S. Open twice. It's where, you know, hard courts kind of turned her year around. I mean, she made the final of the Canada tournament, which is a hard court, and that's kind of leading in. So, you know, she turned things around, and hey, she made the semis. I mean, now she's number 14 in the world.
Yep.
So she's back in business, as they say.
Yep. I mean, that was something spectacular to watch there. But I think we saw some tremendous backstories. And I was telling Greg from some people as we came on with I Will Survive, the song, you think about, you know, her story, Naomi Osaka's story, Taylor Townsend's story, and Anna Samova's story. Some players who've had to come back from some difficulties to be where they are and be back on top. I think it's remarkable those stories were acted out during this U.S. Open.
It's very true. I mean, Anna Samova took some time off. She lost her father a couple of years ago. She was 19 at the time. You don't expect to lose your father as a teenager. And she was going through probably a little bit of depression and whatnot, and took some time off the tour. So in the beginning of this year, she was, what was she ranked in the 300s? Because she had taken time off. And here she is. Now, as of Monday, she'll be number 4 in the world.
Whoa. That's tremendous. That is tremendous to see that take place at this tournament. Just a remarkable week for you, and now you got one more big match to go coming up later today. Thoughts about this matchup? This is the one that everything's been leading up to.
Yeah, buddy.
And we're going to get to see it today at 2 o'clock, right?
Yeah, buddy.
Yep. From the big three to, I guess, the top two, Sinner Alcaraz. This is going to be something else. I mean, this is the final everybody wanted, and this is the final we're going to get. They've been, you know, back and forth. This is the third straight major final that they're facing each other in the final, and that is a rarity. And because listen, they're the top two, and everybody's just trying to make some moves up. But good luck to them because they're like so far ahead of everybody else. Yeah, it's going to be a fun match today, and I totally expect it to go to full 5 sets. I really do.
Wow.
Really do.
Okay.
Do you know, I'm going to impress the both of you right now.
All right.
You know what I was most afraid of in this tournament as it approached the end? That there was going to be a repeat, and I just remember this, 1989, that nobody expected Jimmy Connors to make the run he made. He was past his prime as far as winning singles tournaments, right? And all of a sudden, he recaptured something, and he was all animated on the court and pumping everybody, and he got America focused back on that tournament that year. I was afraid that Djokovic was going to do that this tournament, and I'm so glad he didn't.
Oh, no.
But if it was going to happen, he would have been the one to have that happen, right? His age, given his history, and it didn't seem like he's going to get past these two guys there. What's next? But yet he had one more on the big stage in him. And that's what I was afraid was going to happen. But it didn't happen. In fact, he looked really kind of tired going, not just the semis, the quarters and the semis.
In his post-match news conference, when he lost the semifinal match, he admitted that he was gassed and was tired, and you know he was like, he was tired, he couldn't keep up with them, you know, he admitted it.
Wow.
You know, gave them full props and whatnot, but he admitted he couldn't keep up.
Wow.
I mean, seeing him play, he was trying to, in the third set, he was trying to cut points short. And I'm like, what is he doing? Is he trying to serve in volley? What's going on? But, he admitted. It's like, but he said, he's going to keep playing. He's going to keep playing. So, you know, you never know.
All right.
You never know. You might still have one more major left in him.
And you can't win it if you don't show up, right? So that's what he's going to do.
That's right.
Give himself a chance.
That's right.
Always great to spend some time with Karen Pesena, Tennis Panorama News. She is social. You can find her at Tennis News TPN, Tennis News TPN. What does it say about the two people we're going to see later today, the fact that they're in the third straight final? And it doesn't matter what surface, Karen. Usually someone is more of a specialist on a certain type of surface. But it doesn't matter if it's clay, if it's grass, or now hard court. These two guys are going to show up.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I guess we live in an age where you have to be good on all the surfaces if you're going to be a top 10 player. You just have to be. You can't just say, oh, I'm a clay court player and I'm only going to deal with this. And you can't do that. Not anymore. And, of course, them both being European players, they probably grew up on clay. But there's so many more hard court tournaments that they have no choice but to learn how to play on hard courts. So they're just so well-rounded, it doesn't matter what surface either of them are on.
Who do you see coming up around the corner that is going to penetrate the dominance of these two guys?
Oh, my goodness.
If
they're
not
both
Medvedev,
young. They're both 22 and 24.
Right.
Or 23, rather. They could be having these battles and finals for the next 10 years, for all I know. Coming up around the corner, that's a tough one because they're both young. I mean, a couple of years ago, you'd say, oh, they're coming up around the corner when they're teenagers, but here they are, early 20s, and I don't know. To be quite honest, I don't know.
I think that's a problem as far as the fact that you didn't mention any, mention any players, but you definitely didn't mention any American players. And as I was watching this tournament throughout these last couple of weeks, they couldn't wait to show Andy Roddick and mention that he was the last American
to win
a major.
That's
what they have to hang their hat on. And so I just
Let me tell you, Andy Roddick is sick of him being the last American man to win a major, too. We can't wait until somebody does.
Yeah.
So he doesn't get asked the question anymore.
I mean, it was nice he was sitting with Tracy Austin. I haven't seen her in forever.
Yep.
But, he's got that hanging on him. And what does that say about the attention, the focus of people in this country, sports fans, that are going to take up tennis as opposed to something else? If we don't have any Americans that are making noise. I mean, Coco's there.
In the top 10, you got two American men in the top 10 now.
Unless you follow the sport, people don't know who they are.
But the fact that they're in the top 10 means they have the opportunities to play these guys. And I think that we watch in the coming year to see Ben Shelton getting more opportunities to be on the court with Alcaraz and Sinner. I think that's the other thing you want to see. Get more chances to make it to the quarterfinals and the semifinals. Give you more chances to meet these guys, more chances to figure them out and possibly get a win against them. You can't win if you're not on the court with them,
right? This is true. And as we're looking at the American men, I would put the focus on Shelton because he's young, he's a lefty, he hits with power. Him having to retire from his match because of that injury in his left arm, he's young, so I don't know what the results of his tests were, but he's going to be out for at least the next few weeks. So he wants to take care of that arm because he's got potential. I mean, he's in the top 10. He has potential to be number one someday, but let's see if Carlos and Yannick let other people in. It doesn't look likely these next couple of years.
As we say, thank you again, as always, for Karen. She joins us during the fortnight of these major tournaments. Sometimes the Olympics are there, too, and we have her for that, too.
You got to send us a honey deuce?
We're
going to get a honey deuce from you?
I'm going to see if I can find those honey deuce kits, because somebody sent us, my husband and I, one, and try to send them to you. You probably have to buy the alcohol that goes in them, but the other stuff would probably can be able to find it, and the glasses that go along with it.
All right. Well, this is what I was going to say. I'm wondering if, you talked about Ben Shelton, he might have another option. And we've seen him on TV. And I don't know that he may decide at some point, maybe I'm going to pull a Patrick McEnroe. And I played the sport. People know who I am, and they respect my game. But I'm going to be the guy who replaces John McEnroe in the booth and be there for the next 10, 15, 20 years. Right? A young player, just like these two champions we're talking about with Sinner and Alcaraz. Mm-hmm. And what if Ben Shelton decides, you know what, I'm not going to try to fight to be number one. I can have a longer career talking about this sport. Everybody in the sport respects me, and we can get rid of that other dude who's been there for 150 years.
I don't think Shelton's going to give up on being on the court anytime soon.
But he would be a great replacement, though. He would be a great replacement, though, right? He'd be there for the next.
We got a guy here in town stepping in there. We got Chris Eubanks doing that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Chris is all over. He's all over the place with the with the commentary, you know, not just American broadcast commentary, but he's also been doing it for other places, too. So, I mean, other countries' outlets. So people love him.
I'm just trying to help him out, just trying to be a manager. You know, see what I can do for him. Karen, listen, enjoy the rest of your day and life up there in New York. And thank you, as always, for joining us. And listen, we got to wait till January to talk to her when the Australian happens?
Maybe not. Maybe not.
All right,
not.
Yeah, we can talk to you before then, right?
Yeah.
Have something happen in
sure.
All right, have something happen in your world where we need to talk to you. But anyway, Karen Pacific,
all right.
Tennis Panorama. Thank you, as always, Karen.
Thanks. Have a good Sunday, guys.
There you go. Sometimes, you know, you got to think about long term. Maybe. Anyway, it is Sam and Greg. Coming up next, we're going to let you know about some money flying through the air, and Noel's going to tell you what's going on in her mind. It's Noel's World. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.